Thank you that we can come together and study your word this morning, and thank you for each one who's been able to come and join us today. And Lord, we do want to bring these requests to you today. Think of Bobby's grandfather near death there in North Carolina. We pray you'd comfort and minister to this family. You know the great needs they have today. Think of Nate Traylor and his wife, this little child, has got some complications and needs a touch from heaven. Think of Tiffany Keene also up in the hospital. Lord, having some complications with her pregnancy, we pray you just minister to both of these women and the children and do a special work in these lives. And think of Adriana Baxter also having a baby. We pray that that would go well as they, I think, induce her today or tomorrow. And continue to touch Faith, give the doctors wisdom as they try to find out why she was fainting and having these problems. For this bus accident, these children, these young teens that were involved in that, we pray you'd continue to minister in these lives. This one who is very seriously hurt, we pray that you'd minister in her life and bring her back to health. Continue to touch Edith. We thank you. Her back surgery went well. Help her back to heal now and just touch her and raise her up, we pray. And Lord, just bless our time together now as we study your word. Speak to our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, when I came in, Ed Perkins was hiding behind the wall, and I said, "I can see your stomach hanging out there, buddy." And he said, "That wasn't very kind," or something to those words. And I said, "Well, you know, Ed, if it weren't for the flesh and the devil and the world, I wouldn't have any problems. I would do really well." And the simple matter of fact is, as we started this lesson 2 weeks ago, you as a believer are in a battle. You may not realize it, but you're in a battle. And we talked, we started in Ephesians chapter 6, and we talked about this evil day. The evil day. And by the way, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 6. That's where we're going this morning. And in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, Paul says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day." And that evil day is the harmful day. It is the time of trial or temptation. Let me just ask you, how many of you in your life have experienced an evil day, a time of real temptation or trial or struggle? Now, if you're alive, your hand should be up. If you're not, I want to come and live at your house, okay? We all face it. Now, I'm not going to have you raise your hand on this one, but let me ask you, as you think back to the evil day, the troublesome time you had, were you able to stand? Or did you fall? Now, I think often when we go through these evil days and these difficult times, we fail because we have not made proper preparation for that evil day. If you're not prepared for the evil day, folks, you will fall when the evil day comes. So our intent today is to help you to understand how to prepare for the evil day. And if you're in it, which you may be, how to stand in the evil day. Last or 2 weeks ago, we looked at the presence of the evil day. And the simple matter of fact is, folks, it is certain. It will come. Why? Well, because of the corruption of this world. This world has been corrupted by the fall. Because of that, we have sickness. We have crazy people in this world. We have all kinds of problems because of the fall. And we also have it because it's being ruled by the devil himself, the prince of the power of the air. And it's interesting. Look at verse 16. That's not the verse I want. Well, yes, it is. "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Now, that word wicked there, folks, is the same word in verse 13, the evil day. And so we have a devil who is ruling, and we're going to see this some more this morning, but in Ephesians 5:16, it says, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. The days are evil. Folks, trouble is here for some of you right now. After the wedding yesterday, one of the guys in the wedding party came to me and began to relay all the problems in his life right now. And I was trying to clean up and things, and he said, "I know you are busy, but hey, do you guys do any counseling?" I said, well, sure. And we took him in the auditorium and he sat down, and he has a daughter by one woman. He's been married since then, has several children. And this little six-year-old daughter was spending time with the mother as she had to. And one of the mother's boyfriends raped this little six-year-old girl and would take her and lock her in the closet for a couple of days and just give her Cheerios. I mean, just terrible things. And on top of that, he has a rare heart disorder. He's on the transplant list at Duke for heart. He has a pacemaker. He works away from here almost all the time. And when he is home, his wife is working. Wow. And he's struggling. He said he's a believer. His wife's a believer, raised in a pastor's home, but they're not in church. God has been shoved into the background. Now, he doesn't have a chance in the evil day, folks. Now, when the evil day comes in your life, when the temptation comes, the trial comes, the trouble comes, how are you going to respond? Well, secondly, the purpose of the evil day. Now, we've covered some of this last week. Why do these evil days come? Well, we talked about the devil's purpose. Why does the devil bring the evil day in your life? What's his purpose? Twofold. What is his first desire in your life? Even before destroy, he wants to damn your soul for all eternity. Did you know that? The devil's sentence has been passed. He's going to go to hell. He's going to be there for all eternity. It's a done deal. But he wants to take as many people as he can with him. And so his desire is to keep people from trusting in Christ. And then after that, or most of you already said this, he wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your home. Mark, did you realize that? The devil wants to destroy. He wants to destroy your marriage. How long have you guys been married, Christy? I know Mark doesn't. 16 years. How long does the devil want your marriage to last? 16 years, because he wants to break it up right now. Did you realize that, folks? You are under attack. He wants your children. How old are your children, Mike? 8 and 10. God wants us, or the devil wants those children. He's on the attack, folks. He is out to destroy. Now, that's pretty much where we stopped last week. Let's pick up. Let me back up. How does he do it? Remember from 2 weeks ago, what is the devil's chief method of attacking you? What does he do? John 8:44, the devil is a liar and the father of lies. So when he attacks you, Bill, his chief thing, he's going to lie to you. He's going to lie, Rachel. He's going to lie to you. He's going to tell you God doesn't care about your cancer. He's going to tell you just might as well turn your back on God. It doesn't matter. He's going to tell you when your son gets in an accident, there's no hope. That there's no way you're going to make it. See? The devil's a liar, folks. And he's going to lie to you. And that's real important, because that's going to help us when we come down to seeing how we defend against it. Remember, he comes as an angel of darkness. Angel of light. Wow. Now, why does God... All right, we've seen why the devil wants these things in our lives. Why does God... By the way, the devil's lie is that God does this to you. Why? He doesn't care about you. He doesn't love you. He doesn't know what's going on in your life. Those are all lies. Why does God allow these things to come in our lives, folks? Give me two things. One, he wants to purify your life. He wants to purify it. You see, God's design for a Christian is that a Christian be holy, separate from sin. Well, all of us struggle with that, don't we? Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hold Ephesians 6. We're coming back there. Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll start in verse 6. Well, in fact, we can start back in verse 5. Hebrews 12, chapter 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Now look at the two responses when trouble comes. What's two possible responses? You get bitter against God. Or you faint, you fall out. Okay? Those are two responses. He said, don't do that. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Then move down to verse 10. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. Profit. Why does God author or allow these things in your life, folks? Let me ask you, could God stop it? You bet he can. He has all power. But he has seen fit to allow it in our lives, folks, and he does it for our profit. Notice verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, and we'd all say amen. It's grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised. That's a great word. Exercised thereby. It's like the refiner's fire, isn't it? The refiner's fire is used to purify, to separate the dross, to get the bad stuff out of us. That's why Job said, when he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. It purifies. Secondly, it is to perfect us. Okay? To perfect us. And I know those are very similar, but in Romans 8:29, we are predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And God is working in our lives, folks, to make us like Christ. He allows trials and difficulties so that we'll be changed. You remember the illustration of the silversmith. And now he heats up that silver, and the person asked him, how do you know when it's hot enough, when it's pure enough? And what did he say? When I can see myself. And what is Christ trying to do in your life, Mickey? He wants to see himself. Christ wants to see himself in me. And there's a lot of rough edges that God, he's got to get rid of. I've been working, making some picture frames for my wife. We've got all a bunch of family picture frames in our hallway. And you know, over the years, you just buy them, you put them up there, and they're all mismatched and stuff. And she wants them all the same. So I've been making picture frames. And got me a really cool router bit, man. I mean, it's awesome. And you run that stuff through there, puts all these grooves in it. But it leaves a little rough. What do you have to do? Got to sand it. And then you prime it. And then what do? You sand it. And then you prime it. And then you sand it. And you paint it. And you sand it. And you paint it again, which I did yesterday. And guess what I'm going to get to do? I sanded yesterday, and I'm going to paint again on Monday. What's the point? Getting rid of all the imperfections. Now, if that wood could speak, what would it say when I was using that sandpaper? Ow, this hurts. The router hurt even more. Yeah. Yeah, I was very careful about that router bit, too. I still have all my fingers. I tell you, those things will rip you up in a hurry. Why does God allow things in your life, folks? Trying to get rid of the rough edges. I read an illustration years ago about a sculptor. And this guy was extremely talented. He would take stones and sculpt these beautiful images and things and wood. And could do all kinds of things. And somebody said, How do you do that? He said, well, I take the stone and I picture what I want it to look like, and then I cut away all the stuff that doesn't look like that. Isn't that what God's trying to do in your life, folks? We've got a lot of stuff that doesn't look like Christ. Anyone want to give a testimony? And so God has to put us through the trial to help get rid of all that stuff that doesn't look like Christ. That's the whole point. He's purifying us, folks. He is perfecting us. Now, when that evil day comes, God's purpose for you is good. The devil wants to destroy you. God's purpose is good. He wants to make you better. And I remember at the Wilds years ago, some of you may have been here, may have been with us on that trip. Probably Mark was. We took the College and Career of the Wilds, and this has been, goodness gracious, probably 20 years ago. And I remember it like it was yesterday. The man said, look, the trial will either make you better or it will make you bitter. I don't know if it was original with him or not, but that has stuck with me, and I thought, what a great truth. What a great truth. Now, God wants to make you better. The devil wants to destroy you, make you bitter. Okay? Now, final point. Preparation for the evil day. How do you prepare? How do you prepare? All right? You're back in Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 11. First two words, what are they? Put on. Put on. Now, this morning when you got up, or at some point before you came here, and we're really glad you did, you put on some clothing, okay? You put it on. Now, he's saying, look, you need to put something on spiritually in your life if you're going to withstand an evil day. Now, let's just be honest. Most of us, when we think about preparing for the evil day, what do we usually depend on when the evil day comes and the trial comes and temptation comes? What do we usually depend on? Now, self, our own strength, our own knowledge, our own logic or thinking, our own, I could do this. Now, when we do that, what's coming? Failure, big time. That's exactly right, yeah. A lesson you will not soon forget. In 2 Corinthians 10:4, Paul says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly weapons. They're not physical weapons. So this is a spiritual putting on. Now, this is great. This is great. Now, let's back up a second. Review. What's the devil's weapon to defeat you? Lying. He's a liar, the father of it. Now, let's look at this. Here we go. We get down to verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with. Oh, that was weak. Try that again. Having your loins girt about with truth. Isn't this great? Now, here is the main part of the soldier's outfit that holds everything on. Okay? It would hold the armor. He would probably put his sword in it. It would hold his clothing on. It might hold some of his armor on. And he said, here's where you start, folks. Here's where you start with the girdle of truth. This is the foundation. This is the foundation. If you remember nothing of this lesson but this, here, I want you to hear this. You got it? You ready? You battle the lies of the devil with the truth. Now, I know that's not rocket science, folks, but hallelujah, we don't do it. You battle it with the truth. He says the very first thing you got to have here, folks, is your loins girt about with truth. Now, you say, well, here comes this trial. Here comes this temptation. Here comes this evil day, and I'm going to use my logic, and I'm going to defeat the devil. Good luck with that. You say, Seaman, how do you know it doesn't work? Because I've been there and done that. It doesn't work. You say, well, I know what I'll do when the devil comes to me or when this temptation or trial comes, I'll say, well, Pastor Jody says. Now, folks, what is the source of truth? John chapter 17, verse 17. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Now, folks, look. We need to know spiritual truth. Why do we teach verse by verse in the Word of God? Why does Pastor go verse by verse through Matthew, through Genesis? When we get up to speak in church, why do we not pull out the Reader's Digest? Why do we not get out, what are these crazy shows that they've done? The Beverly Hillbillies. And watch an episode of the Beverly Hillbillies and then talk about how it applies to our lives. Now, you may think that's funny, but it's going on today. Probably within 10 miles of our church it's going on. Hallelujah, folks. You don't need Barney Fife and the Beverly Hillbillies or any of these guys. You need the truth of the Word of God. Now, it was interesting when I was talking to this guy yesterday. He said he'd been going to he was raised in more of a contemporary church. And he said, I felt like when I got there, really their purpose was to entertain me. We're not here to entertain you, folks. Okay? We are here to give you the truth of the Word of God. Now, I'd like you to stay awake. You know, I'm going to try to keep things interesting, but if you just go away from the lesson and say, "Woo, that was fun," we've missed the boat. Okay? You need to go away and said, "Boy, here is the truth that I got today that I can apply to my life right now." You don't need to come dress in your pajamas and watch a drama. Hallelujah. You say, "Well, we just come as you are." Well, and you leave as you are too. We want you to go changed, folks. We want something to happen in your life. You need to know the truth. Now, you say, "Seaman, you harp on this all the time because it's so basic." Preacher, lastly, for 46 years, say, read the Bible every day. We encourage you to come to church. Why? "Well, I had 472 in my Sunday school class." Why? "Well, so we had 600 in church." Why? No, because you need the truth. Hallelujah. I work at the church full time. Of course, you know who I work with. That's why I really need the truth. I mean, it's rough, I tell you. We need the truth, folks. Having your loins girt about with truth. And by the way, he talks in 1 Peter 1:13 about girding up the loins of your mind with the truth. Now, I'm going to move quickly through the next one. The next one, the breastplate of righteousness. That is the protection for this part of your body. And it's right doing. Habits of doing right. Now, that's obviously one of them, but I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time there. The shoes of the gospel of peace. But I really want to camp on the next one. All right? So let's look on. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, notice verse 16. First two words. Above all. All right, so here's something important, right? Above all. Here's something really important. He says, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I was going to get me a garbage can lid or something, but I don't have one here. I guess here we go. This will work. This will be a nice. It's my shield. Very good. Now, obviously, in that day, the weapons were swords, spears, arrows. What's the best defense against those kind of things? Some of you would say run, but if you're going to actually stay in the battle and fight, boy, the shield. And a lot of times, they would even light those arrows or darts on fire, would shoot them at the enemy. And the enemy, and so you've got this shield, and they would a lot of times put leather on it. And so as those fiery darts would come, it would actually snuff out the fire, put out the fire, and boy, they'd be protected and kept from harm. Now, this is great, folks. He said, look, you need to take a shield. God has provided a shield for you, and it's called a shield of faith. Now, here's how it works. Here's my shield of faith, so I'll just use it now. You go in the battle. The evil day comes, the trial comes, the temptation comes. The devil's lying to you. You know what? That woman's a whole lot better looking than your wife. And man, if you got with her, boy, you would enjoy that. And no one's going to know. Now, how are you going to respond? With the shield of faith. And you're going to say, wait a minute, devil. Be sure your sin will find you out. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hey, help me here for a minute. Let's think about some lies that the devil, now this is not personal testimony time, so the lies the devil tells to other people, okay? Other people, all right? The lies the devil tells to other people. Help me out here. What are some of them? What's that? Nobody will know. So we've already kind of dealt with that one, haven't we? Yeah. Okay, what else? Nobody will care. Nobody cares. Okay, nobody cares about your problems. God doesn't care about your problems. Now, what verse can you use to battle that? Oh, that's a good one. The devil's throwing those darts at you. God doesn't care about your problem. God doesn't care about your trial. God doesn't care about your evil day. Oh, wait a minute. I've got my shield of faith. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And that dart drops off and doesn't hurt you a bit, does it? Good. What else? Oh, we need to be like the world. You know, by the way, footnote. That's why contemporary music is in the church. So we can reach the world. And so the world changes us instead of us changing the world. Something's not right about that. So the world standard is changing so we can be like the world. How are you going to respond to that? You know, I think you're right. I'm going to do that. Right? What you got, Mike? Be not conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Also, be ye separate. Be ye holy. Lots of good verses there. What are some other things? Other lies the devil throws at your neighbor, the person sitting next to you. You're not as bad as the other guy. It's okay. Boy, isn't that a great one? How are you going to respond to that? All our righteousness are a filthy rag, that's for sure. I can give a personal testimony there. Wow. See, folks? Now, by the way, the verse needs to fit the trial. You see, the devil comes along to you and says to you, boy, my husband, your husband is a jerk, and this guy you work with at work here is good looking. He always has a suit and tie on. I mean, he's sharp. He's always kind to you. Now, it's not going to help you to say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and, you know, it does take a little bit of sense to know the Word of God and then properly apply the Word of God. When you're watching television and something wicked comes on, what are you going to say? How about, I will set no wicked thing in front of my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. When you begin to feel bitter about your situation, and the devil says to you, God doesn't love you. Look, folks, some of you have been there. Some of you might be there right now. And I want to tell you, Romans chapter 8 tells you, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Hallelujah. God does love you. God has a purpose and a plan in your life. Folks, the shield of faith. And then look at the next one. Back in Ephesians. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts. And take the helmet of salvation. What does the helmet protect? This is deep. The head, very good, very good. Which most of us have a brain in our heads. Your mind, boy, isn't the battle for the mind. The battle's for the mind. Listen, here it is, folks. If you lose the battle for the mind, you will lose the battle for the body. Undoubtedly. Oh, I'm so discouraged and we're just not going to make it and I don't know. You've lost the battle in the mind. You've lost the battle. Lost the battle. And you're going down. He said, take the helmet of salvation. Right thinking is so important. Jim Berg has written some great books. He said, every sin that a man commits is the result of wrong thinking about God. What a great truth. When you get bitter against God, what's the problem? Your trial? Not wrong thinking about God. You've forgotten that God is a God of love. You've forgotten that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. You've forgotten it, see? Right thinking is crucial. Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace who doesn't have any problems. Aren't you glad I didn't write the Bible? Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. By the way, how do you keep your mind stayed on him? Beverly Hillbillies, there we go. Andy Griffith, right? It all goes back to this, doesn't it? You read it, you remember it, you meditate on it. Wow, we need that today. Hey, I need that today. I need that. Now, there's one more I want to see before we're done. And that is the offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. Sword is the offensive weapon that causes the enemy to flee. The shield, it provides protection, doesn't it, from the arrows. But the sword, it'll get rid of that bad guy. The sword provides the power to drive the enemy away. It's really probably a dagger. It's not the idea that when the devil tempts you, you quote the whole Bible. But you find that specific verse that has application. You've heard pastor talk about this. And by the way, he has a sheet. What does he call that thing? The temptation sheet? I can't think. That doesn't sound quite right. The verses for temptation. I'm not sure exactly what it's called. But it's a great tool. Because you ought to know the specific verse for the specific temptation. Now I want you to think about this. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus Christ, who is Jesus Christ? Son of God, he is God. He's God in flesh. All right, now, here comes the devil to tempt him. Now, think of the different ways Jesus Christ, who is God, could have responded. What could he have done? Does he have more power than the devil? Yeah, what could he have done? Yeah, just vaporize him. That's there you go. You probably like Star Trek too, don't you? You got to watch this guy. That's all right. Mullins back there has a Star Trek ringtone. So, hey, you know, that's all right. What could he? What else? He could have. The song says he could have called 10,000 angels. I mean, just bring all the angels in, you know, bring reinforcements. What did he do? He quoted scripture. He did exactly what you and I are supposed to do when trouble comes, when the evil day comes. He quoted the Word of God. He quoted the Word of God. What a powerful weapon that God has given to us, folks. And by the way, when he got done, what did the devil do? He slunk away. He left. He slunk away. Folks, every one of us faces temptation and trial in the evil day. Now, I want to go back to Ephesians chapter 6, and I want to reinforce your thinking here. Let's go back to verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong.